ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
for having spoiled his human life and knowingly drunk poison. by not being Krishna conscious. One willingly drinks the poison of material life. The purport is that one certainly becomes addicted to sinful activities when he becomes devoid of his good chaste wife, or when he has lost his good sense and does not take to Krishna consciousness.
Om Jnana Pinirandasya Jnananjana Shalasaya Chakshurunmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Amino Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Swarupadantikam Mandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sakhidatam Sahagaranatamitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Sambhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahajana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsya Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dheera Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpatruvesya Kripa Sindhu Dheera Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Om Shabdai Krishna Prasadha Shri Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namaste Saraswati Deva Gaurvani Prachari Nishnay Rishi Shashurna Vani Pashti Vishitari Hare Krishna.
We are continuing again with amazing preaching tactics of Narada Muni, that same story which is going on from the last few weeks. It's really interesting, this whole section now Narada Muni is explaining, and the comparative study he is leaving about from the wife, the intelligence, the hunting. And now it's coming to a stage where the living entity or King Puranjan, which he is referring indirectly teaching to King Prachinamari, is falling down, being away from his wife. If you read this verse, at least in my mind, my mind came, if you read this verse, which I will read again, this is the great sense rather continued. Mind the King Prachinamari. As soon as King Puranjan saw his being lying on the ground, appearing like a mendicant, he immediately became bewildered. Does it strike any other pastor in it when he says this last two lines, especially the queen lying on the bread and the king becoming bewildered, seeing the queen?
That's in Ramayana.
Ramayana. So it's someone else in
it?
Dasarath Maharaj. In the past time of Ramayana, something very similar happened when Kekayi, mother of Bharat, when Kekayi decided that she wants to give the kingdom under the by the bad association of her maid servant Mantra, that she wants to give the kingdom to her son Bharat. She used the same tactic. She went to her one of the chambers in her palace, and exactly like a medical Popovana, yes, it's called Popovana, where she was very upset with Dasarath Maharaj, with the king, father of Lord Ram, because he was going to coronate Ram the next morning. And she used exactly the same tactic, that she was lying on the ground like a mendicant, in not in her usual decorated queen style, but in a very simplistic way. She was just on the ground, and seeing that, Dasarath Maharaj really got bewildered. So if you go further in the chapter, you will see that this tactic is just used to bring King Puranjan back in control. There is nothing special going to happen in terms of what is the specific reason of queen acting like a mendicant. When I read this verse, I really was puzzled to know what's going to happen.
why is she acting in such a way? What serious offense has been Purandara done? What Narada is explaining. But if you go through the verses, and especially the beginning of next chapter, you just understand that Prabhupada actually directly says, that this was just a tactic, this was just a tool she was using to bring her husband, the king, back in control. So Kaikeyi used the same tool. Of course, for Dasaratha Maharaj, it didn't work as easily as it worked for King Purandara, because Dasaratha Maharaj had a very superior attachment in comparison to his attachment to Kaikeyi, his wife. He was attached to his son Lord Ram himself. So the fight was between either Lord Ram or the Kaikeyi is the only one. But here, there is later in the verses, very strong words are used that King Puranjan literally tells his wife that do not mistreat your servant like that. Do not be upset with your servant like that. I am like a servant. I am subordinate to you, and talk to me properly. And show all your own gestures. Decorate yourself and come and satisfy my desire to enjoy with you, my lusty desire to enjoy with you. So that's King Puranjan. And then she gets excited, she is very happy, the king is back in her control, and they both enjoy and satisfy king's lusty desire. But on the contrary, why I brought this that point, that Dasaratha Maharaj, in a similar situation, did not fall prey to Kaikeyi's demand, because of his superior attachment to the Supreme Lord. If it was for something else, there was no way the Sir Maharaj would have hurt his most favorite queen. Kaikeyi was the Sir Maharaj's most favorite queen. So we see how Narada Muni is using all different styles of preaching, all different styles of presenting, and somehow breaking through the strong walls of ignorance of King Prajnapati and bringing him to a very advanced platform. Actually, if you see in first canto, 6th chapter, verse 28 onwards, and even before, it's actually introducing Narada Muni and his life, that 6th chapter, especially in first canto, it's introducing Narada Muni. And in that chapter, very interesting point comes where it says that when Narada Muni will receive the spiritual body after putting his material body, he immediately gained three great qualities. And those qualities are mentioned that, of course, because he attained the spiritual body, three qualities he attained was eternality, because he got body of associate of the Lord who travel anywhere in the world, anywhere in the universe, but or on the whole cosmos by his will. So his body was eternal. Free from material modes. The modes of nature, which is mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance, and their destructive effect on us. He was free from those three modes. He had freedom from reaction of fruitive activities. Basically, so there was no entanglement for Narada Muni due to any fruitive reactions. There was no past karma, nothing was pending for him, so he had a complete pure body. So, when Bhagavan is explaining this quality of Narada Muni, these three special qualities he has, then what it implies is anyone who will come in contact with Narada Muni, or such a devotee who has these three qualities, or who is completely spiritual, are also going to get these three qualities because of the association of that powerful sage. So if we see, Bhagavatam is full of Narada's pastimes and his stories, where how amazingly he has used every time a different style to preach and to bring out the best for the spiritual, for the soul within the person. There is pastime of Guru Maharaj, of Prahlad Maharaj, of King Prajnapati. So So anyone who has come in contact with Narada Muni has also gained these three qualities, whether it is your Narada Muni or Nani Viva. Who are the Narada Muni? So Narada Muni is trying to preach to them because he is embodiment of these three qualities, which is he is eternal. Because he has a spiritual body, modes of material nature have no effect on him, and that there is no reaction to the fruitive activities. He is aloof from that. So anyone who comes in contact with Narada Muni, this is exactly the qualities he is trying to give to that person. So but in this verse, particularly, especially in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, you might have not noticed, but because we have said it once, but while I was reading, I noticed that one statement he has repeated twice. Srila Prabhupada, it's a very small purport, but he has repeated twice one statement, and that is, first he says, in other words, when one's good intelligence is separated or neglected, he fully engages in simple activity, and immediately he says, due to neglecting one's good intelligence or Krishna consciousness, one becomes bewildered and engages in simple activity. So he repeats the same line twice. This is, in other words, when one's good intelligence is separated or neglected, he fully engages in simple activity. And due to neglecting one's good intelligence or Krishna consciousness, one becomes bewildered and engages in simple activity. This two lines, which is actually speaking of one line, is giving a very strong message. And that's the essence of this purport. Or I would say the essence of this section is these two lines. So something to learn from this section is it says one becomes bewildered when one's good intelligence is lost. So for I was also thinking about myself, and then for all of us, whenever we have committed anything wrong, whenever we have committed anything sinful, if we trace it back, it begins somewhere when we start thinking about it. When we start to think about it. And when as soon as the thinking crosses a level within thinking, which means initial thinking is just very initial thinking. You can just easily get rid of it. But when the thinking comes to the stage of meditation, which is also part of still thinking, then that triggers, you know what, feeling in us. When that feeling is triggered, our body starts to react. That means, when I'm thinking about something and I immediately, no, that's not correct, not a good thought, get rid of it, I can get rid of it. But when I continue thinking about it, then my body starts to react to it. For example, if suddenly a boy thinks about a girl, the thought comes, he says, no, what is it? Thought goes. But if he continues thinking about enjoying the girl, then body starts to react. Then the feeling develops, then the emotions are involved. When someone starts to think about, okay, I'll use wrong means to earn money. Say, no, why to harm someone, or why to destroy my own consciousness by earning money wrong way. But when you start meditating, your body starts to react. That means from thinking, you have shifted to feeling. And when we are on the stage of feeling, when the body starts to react, then please understand, this situation is very serious. We are in a little dangerous position now. Because the weight of the thought is very heavy now. You know, for example, if we compare our bhakti or our devotion to ice, so thicker our devotion or thicker of the ice underneath where we are walking is, safer we are when we are walking. But if we are just trying to develop our devotional life, our bhakti, that means the ice underneath us is just about to get frozen, and you start walking on it. First of all, because it's a very thin layer of ice, and then you bring all the weight of these thoughts on you, there is quite a bit of danger that the ice may crack and fall in. And that's what happens for many. When we're walking on that very thin ice, and it's on top of it. First of all, we are just trying to recover from our previous bad habits. And then we are taking devotional life, and then we are walking on that thin ice, which is our bhakti, our devotion. And then previous bad thought splits again, and that thinking turns into feeling. Then again I put so much weight on myself about for these thoughts. Then it's very risky, actually. It's too risky to deal with that, because if that thinking turns to feeling, then and that feeling triggers reactions in our body, in most of the cases it will turn into action. In most of the cases it will result into willing, and then we commit simple activities. One of the devotees, he gives a nice example. He says, suppose if you are riding a horse, Chaitanya Charitamrita is a very good example. He says, if you are riding a horse, and if a horse, if you notice suddenly that the horse is changing the direction, and while the horse is changing the direction, in the beginning you can bring the horse back to the main track, because he's just changing the direction. But if the horse actually changed the head towards the other direction, then it's very difficult to bring the horse back, because the horse will go in that direction in most of the cases, unless you're very expert. Unless you're very, very expert. And what is our expertise? Our expertise is how closely we are holding on to devotees around us. You know, many soldiers, when they are working in snow, and the area where they are walking on the snow, they know it's quite risky. They go, in some cases even 8 to 10 soldiers, they lock each other. Or at least they go in pair and they lock each other by walking, because if at one spot the land is very soft and they fall in, the other group can protect and take them out. So are we using the same tactic, strategy in our spiritual life or not? It should be seen. You know, many times we see some devotees who take the risk of alone going and preaching, and the ice underneath is very weak, and there is no protection. One time, devotees approached the Prabhupada and asked him that, Prabhupada, can we go and preach and distribute books in nightclubs? Prabhupada said, yes, you can go, but please come back. So, because the ice is already weak, and then you are going to a place where you are having burden on yourself. There is, you see, an example of Srila Prabhupada. Because of massive, thick layer of ice underneath, he was carrying a load of thousands of his followers along with the whole institution, and still there was some difficulty in his Krishna consciousness. And we see many of Sri Prabhupada's followers, and many of the followers of Sri Prabhupada's followers, who also have a very thick layer of bhakti. And they are capable of carrying the load of many others also with them. So, it's something for us to actually hold on to. Something for us to really hold on to in our particular situation. So, as we were talking about how the body triggers reactions, how the body is reacting when certain illicit thoughts are really taking ground in us, and it turns into action. For most of the people, if you say in Prabhupada also, Srila Prabhupada, in a very slight, in one short line, he touches that point. For many devotees, because we are talking about devotees here, for many devotees, when if that situation happens, a simple thought comes, too much pondering or meditation happens on the thought, which turns into strong feeling about it, and then willing and one commits sinful activities. Many devotees go through the cycle that they feel very guilty. They feel very guilty and very repentant about it after committing their activity, sinful activity, because we know about it. We know that it's not there. But what happens if that devotee utilizes that feeling of guilt or dependence and fights back, taking shelter of Guru, Krishna and devotees. Then if he uses that guilt to really come back and establish one's Krishna consciousness in a better way, then there is possibility. But in some cases, that guilt, that the feeling of guilt comes, we neglect it. We again go into that same cycle of sinful activity, then the guilt comes again, and we feel bad, but we don't act on it, and then it comes again. So we can notice that when that happens, gradually the guilt will, or the repenting feeling will start to reduce. That will reduce, and that will reduce to a level that we will no more feel guilty about our sinful activities. And then we are back to square one where we started from. Again, back into the same habits which we came from. Because it's commonly noticed that devotees who had certain attachments or addictions before taking them to the process of Krishna consciousness fall back to those same addictions or habits if they become weak in their spiritual practices. So, of course, in association with new bad habits and love, but usually they fall back into those same habits. If someone was addicted to, watching pornography or intoxication or gambling or whatever, then when one becomes weak, because those impressions, those previous samskaras are very strong, then those are the first things one starts committing again, because one is very weak in one's spiritual practice. But when one does feel repentant, one should actually really utilize that feeling of repentance. And that's why if you see in the purport of the first paragraph, Prabhupada says, then due to neglecting one's good intelligence of Krishna consciousness, one becomes bewildered and engages in sinful activities. Then he says, upon realizing this, a man becomes repentant. And such repentance is described by Narottam Das Thakur as मनुष्य जन्म पाया राधा कृष्ण नाम बजिया जानिया सुनिया विषखाया हरि हरि विपल जन्म दोहे आई यूजलेसली स्पॉइल्ड माय ह्यूमन लाइफ मनुष्य जन्म आई वेस्टेड माय ह्यूमन लाइफ हाउ राधा कृष्ण नाम बजिया आई डिड नॉट प्रॉपर्ली वर्शिप राधा कृष्ण I did not worship the Supreme Lord, even after getting this opportunity, even after hearing so much, even after understanding association, everything. Janiya Shunya Shikhaya, this is a very important name. Knowingly, I have drunk poison. So, when that feeling becomes strong, one can really step on that feeling. One should not let that feeling go. That's a very strong feeling to hold on to. When that feeling of repentance comes, because many of us, we may somewhere in our life will do certain mistakes which we are not supposed to make. And then if this feeling is not cashed upon, if this feeling of repentance or guilt is not cashed upon and utilized, then we may lose this opportunity. And again, and what to speak of in many cases it happens, what to speak of, this feeling of repentance comes, this feeling of guilt comes, and we don't work towards rectifying it, and we are alone also with no association of devotees, then there is no hope. So if that repentance is coming, then we may still be weak to rectify it, but if we are very closely associating with devotees, it says that the association of devotees is like Swadosh Darshan. Means, when you see a mirror, you see yourself. So the association of devotees is like a mirror which is always showing your faults to you. It's not that devotees are pointing your faults all the time. But when you are in association of devotees, your own faults are seen to you. Because you see naturally that how sincerely that devotee is practicing Krishna consciousness. But what about me? I'm not able to do last Saturday, we went for, you know, devotees did 12 hours, you know. So I went for that Harinam, and then when I saw all this, all the devotees doing Harinam, you know, I could feel, I could see my own quality that why I don't go into Harinam. And I was feeling happy, or at least I went. Because if suppose they were not doing, then how do I feel? Then I can see that I'm not doing it. Then I'm not putting that that effort to go out on the street and chanting holy name. So, and later I was speaking to devotees who were distributing books. Hundreds of books went that day. In total, hundreds of books were distributed that day. And one devotee was telling that it becomes very really easy to distribute books because you're with the Harinam party, and there is not too much of explanation required. You just explain how happy they are, give the book, and then if they like, they take it and you move on. So like that, when we are with devotees, but if you're alone, then who will show you your mirror? Then you have to, so much trust is there on its own mind and intelligence when that happens. You know, but how can you trust this mind? It's not possible to trust this mind. It's not worth actually, it's not safe also. Tamal Vishwanath says that even though after so much of experience, he says that when a crucial decision comes, I don't trust my mind. I consult my Lord brothers. I still don't trust my mind. Why do you bother trusting one's mind? At least one should consult. It's important. It's not helpful actually. So this is something very interesting from this purport, which comes up. You know, if you see, because a lot we're discussing how the intelligence is neglected. Good intelligence, Prabhupada uses good intelligence, and he compares the wife with intelligence and intelligence with Krishna consciousness. In the purport, if you see Srila Prabhupada's giving a comparative explanation, that the wife is compared to intelligence and intelligence is our Krishna consciousness, and when that Krishna consciousness is neglected, that's where all the blunder happens. But if you see in the purport of Bhagavad Gita 10th chapter, verse number 4 and 5, it's a very interesting purport. I read one or two lines in the last class on this purport, but I was searching this purport, it's very interesting. Please hear carefully, this is very transforming purport. Prabhupada says, one should restrain the mind from unnecessary thoughts. That is called samadhi. One should not spend one's time pondering over earning money. Here is giving an example of earning money. But we can say one should not spend one's time pondering over this itself. One should not spend one's time pondering over earning illegitimately money. One should not waste one's time wandering over intoxication or whatever. But here he takes the example of one should not spend one's time wandering over earning money. He says that is the misuse of thinking power. The mind should be used to understand the prime necessity of human beings. That's the usage of the mind. And that should be presented authoritatively. The power of thought should be developed in association with personal were authorities in scriptures. The power of thought, we all have to develop our power of thought in association of with persons who are authority in scriptures, saintly persons and spiritual masters, and those whose thinking is highly developed. That's how we can work on our thinking, our power of thought. It's to develop our power of thought in association of saintly people, or those who are authority in scriptures, in gurus, and those who are highly developed in spiritual life. So, it's a very nice solution in terms of working on our thinking capacity. And that can only happen if one gives oneself a chance to come in contact with these personalities. Which is saintly persons, spiritual masters, or those who are spiritually highly developed. So, and if you see right towards the end of the purport, Prabhupada is saying,
He says the purport in the whole section of particularly this verse is that the purport is that one certainly becomes addicted to sinful activities when he becomes the devoid of his good chaste wife. That is for a person who is married. Naturally, if one is devoid of one's own good chaste wife, then he has to fall for other wrong illicit activities. Or when he has lost his good sense and does not take to Krishna consciousness. So this is the comparison he is making. Now these are the two explanations he is giving. That for a person who is in distraction, one will become to sinful activities when he is devoid of his good chaste wife or when he has lost his good sense and does not take to Krishna consciousness. So in a weird situation, actually speaking, where especially here in Melbourne, if you see, now best times are coming of the year. In one sense, many spiritual masters, many devotees are traveling here. A lot of association, isn't it true? So we can utilize this opportunity because once a devotee does come. Does utilize this feeling of repentance and the feeling of guilt and does come over it and again comes back towards normal Krishna conscious lifestyle, then if one can start acting, which we have heard hundreds and hundreds of times, for the pleasure of Krishna or the spiritual master, then Krishna promises something very nice. If this, like this verse is talking about the ill health of the devotee, and then later he is repentant of his mistakes, and then when one revives one Krishna consciousness and comes back to a normal living condition, then one can start acting for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord and Guru, spiritual master, and that can be done in a very trusting, very nice way, which is on behalf of Krishna and on behalf of the spiritual master. We can start taking anxiety for others instead of our own stuff. Another very nice quote from Ramakrishna Maharaj, he says that when you start taking anxiety for others, when in your own life you are taking a lot of anxiety for others, then naturally Krishna will take seriously, when Krishna will try to solve your anxieties, because you are busy in taking anxiety on behalf of Krishna, then Krishna will solve your anxieties. And that's how it works. So, for a devotee, if he is busy in just taking care of others, which is a very selfless act, then that devotee is well protected and taken care by the Supreme Lord. This experience cannot be felt unless you see it for yourself in your own life. How Krishna is actually taking care of your anxieties when you are busy, or you are at least trying to take care of other devotees' anxieties or other people's anxiety in terms of making them Krishna consciousness, in terms of making them Krishna conscious. So, I'll end with a verse which gives this assurance that if we are just absorbed in Krishna consciousness, what Krishna does, and there is a small purport to it, and we'll finish there, that how special privilege this is. Because Srila Prabhupada in one of the lectures said, if you stand 16 rounds, follow the four elemental principles, eat prasada, and just preach, and I promise you that I will take you back home back to the world, or Krishna will take you back home back to the world. And when Srila Prabhupada said it's in 1975, I think in Los Angeles, he said that. So, Vaisakhi Kapoor was mentioning that when Srila Prabhupada said that statement, then in ashram, many devotees were discussing that what if I am doing 90%? How much can we put faith in Srila Prabhupada's this statement that you just do this and Krishna will take you back home back to Lord? So, devotees were discussing, you know, the because it's a very strong statement. It's a guarantee. So, Vaisakhi Kapoor was mentioning, he was mentioning a nice point that he said that we all know Srila Prabhupada never speculates. We know that Srila Prabhupada never speculates.
if he is saying like that, that means Krishna must have given him the authority and the promise to say like that. Like Krishna says to Arjuna and Bhagavad Gita that Kaunte Pratijani Nama Bhakta Pranashati. Arjuna, you go out and boldly declare that my devotee will never perish. So when Arjuna goes out and says that Krishna's devotee will never perish, then someone should not doubt Arjuna's statement because Krishna has promised. But Krishna is telling Arjuna to say boldly. So he was mentioning that this is how devotees should see Prabhupada's this confirmation and take it to heart. And then how Srila Prabhupada is directly quoting from scriptures, which is from Bhagavad Gita, a 41 verse, and then it finishes from 9:22. Anamnes Tentayantomam, Yetina Paripasate, Tesham, Nityavayuktam, Yoga Kshemam, Mahamyam. But those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. Those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, exclusive devotion is Krishna Tadamavara priority. To them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. You know, this last line, Yoga Kshema Mahamyam, is very attractive. I carry what you lack and I preserve what you have. This is a very attractive statement. Many times devotees use it to tell new people also Krishna is promising this to you. In India, you know, one of the biggest insurance company, Life Insurance Corporation, which is a government owned company, uses this last line as their motto.
You said again, please.
Yoga Kshema Mahamyam. I carry what you lack. Whatever you are lacking, I will provide. And whatever you have, I preserve. So the insurance company uses this last line. This is their logo is there, and underneath it's Yoga Kshema Mahamyam. So the insurance company is promising they will carry what we lack and they preserve what we have. But we all know. But the top part where Krishna is saying, Ananya Sthitayantama, with exclusive devotion, this can happen. That they will not mention because of so-called secularism in India, which has destroyed India to a great extent, being too much of secular. So that they will not mention because it will hurt sentiments and all that. But this last line from Bhagavad Gita, they have taken Yoga Kshema Mahamyam, that we carry what we like and we preserve what we have. Because it's a good deal. If you see someone can promise you that it's a good deal. It's whatever I don't have, you will give me, and whatever I have, you will say, protect it for me. So, but let's see the purport, and then we understand the real essence of Yoga Kshema Mahamyam, and then we finish. So Prabhupada says, one who is unable to live for a moment without Krishna consciousness cannot but think of Krishna 24 hours a day, being engaged in devotional service by hearing, chanting, remembering, offering prayer, worshipping and serving the lotus feet of the Lord, rendering other services, cultivating friendship and surrendering fully to the Lord. Such activities are all auspicious and full of spiritual potencies, which makes the devotee perfect in self-realization, so that his only desire is to achieve association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a devotee undoubtedly approaches the Lord without difficulty. This is called yoga. By the mercy of the Lord, such devotee never comes back to the material condition of life. Kshema refers to the merciful protection of the Lord. The Lord helps the devotee to achieve Krishna consciousness by yoga. And when he becomes fully Krishna conscious, the Lord protects him from falling down to a miserable condition in life. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments on what we discussed?
Just the point of balance in the thought processes.
Yeah.
I suggest that there's nothing you can do without balance. We are vulnerable people. People are vulnerable. And the only way you can deal with balance is to care for it. To see it, because you were saying when you hang on to something, it really turns into trouble, you know? where he said to attain devotees, accept it as part of human nature, then that's a suggestion of how to deal with it.
So you mean you're talking about someone else committing violence on you?
No, I'm talking about my violence.
On violence, okay. So if you see, if you actually analyze violence, it exactly goes through the same process. Suppose violence means you're angry on someone or some situation. Either on a person or a situation. Yeah, exactly. Some person has done that to you, right? Has put you in that condition. So, suppose when it begins on thinking back from again, that you are getting angry, really upset on the situation or the person around you, and you say, is that going to give me some result? What am I? Am I going to gain something positive out of it? And I get over that thought. Just an example, I'm not saying you must do it or this is the only way. And then when you still continue to be angry, then you see body changes. And you see how body reacts. Your red face, your upset, you really want to do something about it. And then you act. But if the point here was, what I was mentioning was, that if on a very initial stage of thinking, we all have our initial stage of thinking, whether it's getting upset on someone or anything else, if we can curb on the initial stage, then why do we have to go through the whole cycle and then hurt ourselves and hurt someone else? That was the point there. So if it cannot be curbed, then whatever the consequences come, then one has to deal with it with maturity and some help around us. So what can be done? If it happens, then one has to deal with it properly.
You have to lose.
Yeah, people lose. People lose relations. People lose respect.
It's better than war.
Better than?
War.
War.
It's better than war to lose. To be shot is better than becoming a Christian.
Yeah. And this one.
The last statement you made, the Sanskrit words says yoga kshema paramya. How is the yoga is connected as is in preserved or
so, okay. Yeah. So if you see the Prabhupada does mention that. So he says, so the only desire he has is to achieve the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So basically yoga means connection, right? So if you see the verse itself, yoga shema, I'll just actually take the verse out. If you see the words proper is translated, you guys requirements.
Requirements.
So I carry what they have. We're talking about the requirements, the word yoga is this thing. But if in the purport he's directly connecting, you're bringing the depth, the most deep understanding of this yoga kshema, which is that Krishna carries our connection, our devotion towards him. Basically, if he fulfills that requirement of the soul, or all in terms of his connection with the Supreme Lord, and whatever spiritual development we have done, he shame on him, he protects that. So, you know, in the devotee asked Prabhupada, you know, we all know that Pastor Prabhupada said 10, 64 rounds, and the devotee said, oh, it's too much difficult, we can't do it. Okay, 32, too much difficult, we can't do it. 25, oh, too much difficult, we can't do it. 16, nothing less than that, 10, 16 rounds, all four elements, so deep prasadam, three extra consciousness, I promise you, you'll go back and back to God. 64 to 16, so that's the gap. which is filled on authority of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. So that's what you carry, what you have. And that's where the example where Lord Chaitanya is glorified a lot. That we see the pastime of Janayana Dhai. Is it not Yogakshema? Is it not Lord Chaitanya, because of Lord Nityananda's mercy, fulfill all the requirements, all the boxes were ticked, just out of his kind mercy upon them, and gave them the highest platform. Why? Because Lord Nityananda became kind, merciful upon them. So, same in those verses.
So in that statement, it's basically Krishna saying you will preserve what the spiritual assets,
yes,
and you will also.
So whatever devotional credits we have attained, he protects that devotion. Then he will not let us fall down. Not yogakshema. First is Ananda is sent there. Someone who is fully 24 hours. First line is, one who is 24 hours engaged in thinking about Krishna for that person. Krishna, what that means is from our side we are doing 24 hours service to Krishna. Now the rest is Krishna's department. And that is his area. That is not my area of influence. My area of concern, there is an area of influence. Now this is a very small circle area of concern, and there is a very big circle area of influence. So my area of concern is my engagement. But I cannot worry about the bigger one, which is Krishna's part, which is to fulfill the, or you know, we have heard it so many times. How can we force Krishna to take us back home back to God? We can only pray. It's up to him to give us this opportunity to come back to his spiritual world, because it's his spiritual world. So that lack, which we cannot jump up, that comes from the Supreme Lord. That comes from Lord Chaitanya. That is in prophecy, that's yoga. That's what Lord is carrying for us. Otherwise, many of us can claim, you know, we've done our life in service of Krishna. Now, I can force it. Because this spiritual world, but it doesn't work like that. That Supreme Lord has to do that. So, that's an understanding. Anything else? Yes, sir.
You are mentioning about the guilt to come back. You are mentioning about the guilt, the feeling that you need to hold on and come back. Could you
Yes, so we were talking about the guilt and coming back and basically standing, utilizing that as a stepping stone to go towards Krishna. Then we feel guilty or repentant about some mistake we do. So if you see some, in practically, if you see, for example, a devotee falls into bad association, then, or due to one's weak sadhana and not associating or not inhaling chanting, goes back to one's own previous habits, for example, intoxication. And then one gets intoxicated and one comes to understand that, why am I doing this? You know. So when that feeling comes, that it's a very fortunate feeling. One has to be fortunate to come to that state, to come to experience to that, which most of the devotees will experience, because Supreme Lord is not going to leave us that easily. But when that experience, that feeling comes, that why am I doing this? Then one should not overlook that. Then don't let your desire to redo or again fulfill that sinful desire come in again. Then one should really work something out about one's life. And if you see example, is it not Jad Bharat Maharaj's first time example of this? It's a classic example. You know, Bharat Maharaj, who attained the stage of bhava and got attached to a deer and took a birth as a deer, when he took birth as Jad Bharat in his third life, he did not give any chance to oneself. He appeared as a dumb person. Even if they were taking him to be slaughtered, he was not retaliating or not acting. He was that much convinced that no more mistake. So that's, so he was repenting, right? The whole life of Deva was a life of repentance. And when the life of repentance of the Deva life was a life of repentance, when he took birth as third birth in his third life, you see his activities, you read his activities. Everyone in the society really thought he is useless, crazy fellow. But Chandra was on a different platform. Why? Because he did not want to do that mistake again. He was just focused.
So, that's a very classic example, if you see, of utilizing one's repentance.
So, many other examples we see in our day to day life also. So I can't tell you my example. It's very embarrassing to think of it, but many that repentance also doesn't work. You go and get committed to the same mistake, but.
That's the basic example.
So, we all know in our lives, but that's the point. Utilize. And then just be very careful. Once you trace back what all led to this type of mistake, once you actually trace back carefully what I did. And many times you trace back, it comes from the state of thinking about it, which led to body-giving reactions. And then acting on it most of the time. Oh man, that is how it goes. None of the words certainly come to association with someone and just jumps over and does all this intellectual. It takes time. And that time is this thinking and feeling time. For all of us. Especially those who know what is right, what is wrong. And something is a little more scary, that is, if we know what is right, what is wrong, then we still do it. The reactions are higher. It's much higher. Because we know now. Now we know. I didn't want to talk about that because that's a little scary one. And that's true, that's reality. Now we know. Okay, can you stop? Hare Krishna.
Radha Shri Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Prabhupada Ki Jai.